to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Find my stuff online at glowinthedarkradio.com or at mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. mikeluoma.com. That's also how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, just under my name, afterthere.com/MikeLuoma. And check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. We've got The Adventures of Alibi Jones underway, and we've been listening to the first novel in the Alibi Jones series, which is simply titled Alibi Jones. We are coming to the end, though. There's only two more chapters, Chapter 19 and Chapter 20. We've got the first part of Chapter 19 this week, Chapter 19, Part 1. This week on Glow in the Dark Radio, because, you see, this penultimate chapter, and I love that word, penultimate. I mean, second to last, but still, sounds cooler, doesn't it? Anyway, this chapter is massive. When it was originally edited, it was at 50 minutes, just under 50 minutes. The new, tighter edit brings it down to around 44 minutes. Still not quite done, but I found a good cliffhanger point at which to divvy this up. So what I'm going to do is divide this chapter into, because it's still on the very large side, and for some reason, chapter 20, the final chapter, it's just around 6-7 minutes long. So that chapter by itself would be kind of a cheat. You'd feel sort of gypped just to hear that. So I'm going to combine them next week. The second part of chapter 19 and chapter 20. That's my plan. So we are almost at the end of this novel. This is episode 441 of the Glow in the Dark Radio podcast. If you want to hear the start of this novel, go back to episode 423 for chapter 1 of Alibi Jones. You can hear this entire book, this audiobook, for free on the Glow in the Dark Radio podcast. As far as news goes this week, I really don't have a whole lot. I would just remind you to join my mailing list. I'd love to have you on that. When I do have things going on, I get in touch. I email you. But I don't do it a lot, so it's not like a spammy list, you know? And I'm the only one who has it. I don't share it with anybody. So go to any of my sites, glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com, the Facebook site, .com/glowinthedarkradio. Any of those has a subscribe form. And when you do sign up for my mailing list, you get an exclusive PDF, you get an exclusive ebook. It's the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's an anthology. It has an Alibi Jones story you can't find anywhere else. Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine. That was later expanded and became part of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, the third Alibi Jones novel. You also get some previews of Alibi Jones comics, and other comics as well. Plus some of the Vatican Assassin Index, Vatican Assassin graphic novel, there's a sample in there. So it's a whole sample of my work, and it's exclusive to the mailing list. The only way you get it is by signing up. And you do that again at any of my sites, glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com, or at the Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. On the way next, I've got Chapter 19, Part 1 from Alibi Jones, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio.
So how would you describe a podcast like The Shared Desk?
It's a podcast that took its sweet time to do a promo.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
I mean, you could say The Shared Desk is a podcast about collaboration, because that's what we do.
Wait. There's a lot more to The Shared Desk. You got our Loot Crate Looky-Loo.
Oh, what's in the box?
And then what we're doing when we're not writing. Usually it's pretty nerdy.
Nerd!
And then there are the drop-ins.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yes. There are drop-ins.
And we love having guests on the show. It's the shared desk, after all.
And if it's Katie or Lauren, you get some lovely singing as well.
So find The Shared Desk on iTunes, Stitcher, or at theshareddesk.com. The Shared Desk. Two writers.
One podcast.
Different points of view.
Now, here's part one of Chapter 19 on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Groggy, his head aching. Alibi wakes up. He's lying on the floor of a small room, small enough to be a large closet if not for the one window. Light from outside illuminates the small space. He sits up and raises his hands to rub his temples. He massages his jaw. It feels like he's been clenching his teeth hard for days. His goggles are gone. Hell, at least I'm not tied up, Alibi thinks out loud.
That did not seem necessary, a loud voice says with a laugh.
Alibi looks over at the now open door. The large figure he assumes is now Ashimeth stands in the doorway.
The servants are under instructions to stop you.
You will not get far if you run. And this time they have orders to kill you, not merely bring you to me.
Alibi stands up to face his captor.
Ashimeth? He asks. The man begins laughing.
He answers Alibi with a question as his laugh winds down.
Do you have a lisp?
No,
Alibi answers.
Ashimeth, the man proclaims.
He advances into the room.
But that is interesting, the man says, glaring at Alibi. Do you think you have figured something out?
Ashimeth cocks his head to one side, as if listening to something.
What do you know?
Alibi feels, but cannot see, an oversized, hot, greasy, dark hand grabbing him by the head, its slippery fingers closing around his skull.
No, stop!
Alibi protests weakly. His eyes roll back in his head, and he collapses in a faint.
Strange, Ashimeth notes. He blocked me out.
No human should be able to do that. Ashimeth turns and leaves the unconscious form of Alibi in a pile on the floor. He barks orders to the Eldred in an ancient alien tongue, a language not commonly spoken in over a million years. He slams the door to Alibi's room behind him.
Alibi can't hear the door. He's not really in the room.
Not now. The walls of the room seem to have dissolved away, and he floats alone on a silent gray sea that disappears into a lighter gray mist.
What the fuck did Ashimeth do to me? Where am I?
Alibi. 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 A voice calling his name echoes strange and loud inside of Alibi's head.
Ashimeth?
Not at all.
Alibi feels waves of amusement wash over him, like thoughts of laughter.
You and I, we have met, once, long ago. You wouldn't remember.
Now Alibi can feel a sadness, like an almost palpable thing, wash over him.
Who are you?
He thinks the question, but he thinks he already knows the answer.
Are you my father? Are you Campion? Or are you Ashimeth, fucking with my head?
Part of me was once BC.
I am also you. And you are also me.
Cryptic.
It is hard to explain, but that which was once your father, I am. That is what draws me to you.
That and the fact you have my talent. My curse.
You want a curse? Fuck you, Dad.
Alibi wonders if he can wake up. He tries to shake himself awake.
Please.
If a voice in your head can sound insistent, this voice does. Alibi stops trying to squirm and shake his way out of the mind space they're in.
Is this a dream?
No. It does have that quality, though, doesn't it?
This is all in my head, isn't it? I'm really just talking to myself, right?
You sound just like me.
Fuck you again, then, BC. Maybe I should try to wake up.
Alibi tries to pinch himself.
Do not do that.
The force of the thought stops him cold.
You don't have to like me. But I have something I need to teach you, before you face Ashimeth again.
I am beginning to understand that this is why I am with you now.
Teach me? What do you think you can teach me?
I can teach you how to keep him out, without passing out.
Out?
Out of your head.
Then that was him, reaching in. He tried. You stopped him. I helped, but it overwhelmed you. Now we are here, and I see what I need to teach you. You sometimes hear the thoughts of others.
I do?
Alibi realizes the voice is right.
I guess I do sometimes. Are you really my father?
In a way, I am many, and I am one. But most important, I am here to teach you how to keep Azamet out of your mind.
Yeah, speaking of out of your mind.
Please pay attention. Picture a set of heavy wooden double doors in your mind. Make them real. The doors are real inside your mind. Picture them open. Now, think of them closing.
Double doors? In my mind? Why?
Do it.
Picture doors closing?
Can you see them?
Doors? Sure, why not?
Try. This could mean your life.
Seeing double doors. Now seeing the doors closing.
Good. Open them again.
Open? Closed? What do you want?
This. A brilliant light blanks all of Alibi's senses. A flash of illumination overwhelms him, stuns him momentarily. He feels alone. He pictures the doors in his mind. They spring readily into his mind's eye.
Big, heavy doors. Open? Now? Can I shut them? Close.
Slam. The doors in his mind slam shut.
That felt right. BC, are you still there? I can do it.
There's no answer. Alibi floats alone on the still, calm gray sea. He feels, more than sees, the room begin to reappear around him as consciousness returns. His head feels oddly clear, and any trace of the earlier shock-induced headache is now gone.
That was weird. Was it real? Was that my father? Or was it my head playing tricks on me? I still can't be entirely sure that it wasn't Azamet.
The light streaming in from outside dims. Alibi sits up. The door to the small room is open, and Eldred stands guard in the doorway. It barks something alien at him, but he can't understand it. He doesn't have his wand, no way to translate. The furry blue koala trundles in, truncheon in hand.
Looks like the same kind of shock stick they got me with outside.
The Eldred stands over him, threatening with the pole and shouting something at Alibi he doesn't understand. Another Eldred approaches, appearing behind the first and chastising the other alien. The two hold a brief, barked conversation. The second one motions to Alibi to get up and follow them. Alibi gets to his feet and walks out the door of the small room behind the aliens. They journey down to a large room. Azamet's been busy, reconstructing his laboratory. Several enormous, clear tanks line the wall on the right, filled with a yellowish gel. Empty gurneys stretch off to the left, surrounded by banks of life support equipment and other surgical machines. Alibi looks around, the new lab humming with activity. The room is filled with busy Eldred hooking up equipment, filling tanks, and prepping stretchers. As they walk past the tanks, Alibi sees each has what looks like a wired-up baby floating in the gel inside. He doesn't have a chance to look for too long. His escorts shout back at him. Alibi doesn't have to know what they are saying to know they want him to keep up with them. They lead him through a door on the other side of the lab, down a short corridor, and into a room with a single chair. The Eldred snap at him again, making it clear he should sit in the chair. Alibi sits. The alien with the truncheon looks on, the electrified end of his pole weapon pointed at Alibi. The other Eldred begins rolling tape around him, securing him to the chair. Hey! The Eldred with the truncheon pokes it into Alibi, giving him a small jolt, enough to shock him silent. Alibi glares at the Eldred with the pole. The alien growls, and then pushes the truncheon into Alibi's side again with more vigor and a greater charge. Alibi feels every hair stand on end before he blacks out. He feels a change in the air around him as he groggily comes to. He sees Azamet standing before him as his eyes begin to focus.
The servants are excitable, somewhat overzealous. I have perhaps engineered them a bit too hostile this time around.
The big man muses aloud.
No need to apologize, Alibi manages to joke.
Apologize? Ha! Azamet laughs. I was merely thinking out loud, the large man explains. I don't owe you anything, never mind an apology. I should kill you or use you in my research. But you are, for the moment, more interesting to me conscious and alive. Lucky you. You owe me your life.
You're one of them, aren't you? Alibi asks.
One of them?
Azamet asks.
feigning ignorance.
One of the ancient enemy.
Ah, so you are aware of us. That is such a quaint name you've come up with,
Azumet says, leering down at Alibi. That's what the Eldred called you. They told us about you. Said you were our ancestors, Alibi says.
In a way, if only there were more similar...
You seeded human life on Earth. They said you did, Alibi interrupts.
We influenced life on your Earth, undoubtedly, Azumet explains. Pushed it in our direction.
Didn't you create human DNA?
You give us too much credit, Azumet says.
He laughs.
We used DNA to carry our messages. But whoever the great scientist was who created the original technology, well, that's a billion-year-old mystery even to us. We assume your Earth was seeded with DNA some 3.5 billion years ago, when our world was seeded as well. We merely decoded some of the language of the great scientist, the prime communicator, placed there to read in our DNA, and then used his language ourselves.
What, in our genes? Alibi asks, encouraging him.
If I can keep him talking, I can probably keep breathing.
In your genes? Ha, no.
Azumet almost lectures Alibi.
Your genes make up but a small percentage of your DNA information, a mere fraction of what is contained within the double helix. The rest I have discovered, your scientists call junk DNA. Junk! The arrogance of such a label alone marks your race as our offspring.
Look who's talking arrogance, Alibi cracks.
It is not arrogance if you truly are superior,
Azumet notes without intending irony.
You are like underdeveloped children. You may be on the way to evolving into my race, but I assure you, you are nowhere near close to our development and perfection. To me, you sound as the screeching gorillas of your jungles sound to you.
Nice, Alibi replies, resisting the urge to start grunting like an ape.
There is a divine language imprinted in the DNA,
Azumet says, as if proclaiming truth as both priest and scientist.
A universal code, written in what your best minds call junk sequences. When you begin to read that code,
Azumet says, almost wistfully,
you begin to decipher the universe.
If your race was so smart, how come you were wiped out? Alibi challenges.
Azumet laughs. He looks at Alibi without saying a word.
What? Alibi asks.
Open your eyes. The evidence before you contradicts your assertion,
Azumet points out.
I stand alive here in front of you, a member of that race you claim was wiped out. If that were so, how could it be that I am here? I live, and so refute your argument.
I see, Alibi says. Because you're here, I'm wrong? Alibi asks. You're not wiped out. A frightening thought occurs to him. Are you saying there are more of you?
There will be,
Azumet says threateningly.
Will be? Alibi wonders.
How?
Azumet smiles a humorless smile.
Ah.
Azumet breaks off from what he was about to say. He turns back to Alibi.
If I had not felt the touch from your mind, you would already be dead,
he says quickly, his voice carrying a menacing edge.
You display traits which show you may have developed further along in your evolution than others of your race. The information we sent here 1 million years ago has not spun itself out entirely, though it seems so weak, so inferior.
Azumet trails off in thought.
Yet here you are. I plan to read your DNA to see if I can find more of what I need. Even this form I wear now,
Azumet looks down at his strapping, muscular body,
will soon begin to degrade. The form is not yet stable. You will help me with that. In fact, I have already taken a tissue sample from you. The decoding is underway. You will be such a help.
How are you still here? Alibi asks Azumet, trying to draw back his attention. Plus, he's curious. Suspended animation, like Dolome?
Still here, Azumet says with some amusement. Not still here. Here again. Back, Azumet says with a flourish. From the past.
You're kidding, Alibi says, although Azumet's claims seem to jibe with what Krish was theorizing.
Kidding? Azumet asks.
You're saying you came from the past?
What?
You're telling me you time travel? Are you trying to claim you came here using time travel? Give me a break. There's no such thing. I know my physics.
Physics? Azumet snaps with a sneer on his face. Your physics are far too basic, far too limiting, far too proud of itself for what it has already defined, to the exclusion of the undefinable.
Azumet laughs.
When we learned the language of the great scientist, we discovered how to transcend the limits your physics transcribe.
Ooh, big talk, Alibi cracks. Azamet actually pounds his chest.
These physical bodies are nothing, Azamet insists. Focal points, focusing devices at best, containment units.
You're a real romantic, aren't you?
Alibi keeps chiding the big man. Time is only a constraint for these containment units, nothing more. The essence of what we are transcends these bodies, these boundaries, these borders, and indeed, that essence can travel through time.
You're blowing my mind, Alibi says sarcastically.
Not that hard a task, Azamet replies.
Wow, maybe he has a sense of humor.
A sense of humor? Azamet asks, answering Alibi's unspoken thought. Your race is quite amusing, actually, Azamet notes, as well as annoying.
You're saying your essence traveled through time?
Yes, exactly that. If I could only... Have you ever tried to explain the concept of time to your cat? Azamet asks him.
To my cat? I don't have a cat, Alibi says.
You know what I mean, Azamet counters angrily. That is what it feels like to me, trying to put these concepts into words you can understand. I feel like I am trying to explain high concepts to a low-intelligence pet.
Meow, Alibi cracks. You like cats? I have a friend you should meet, Alibi says, still sparring with him.
Hope my cat-like friend Kit is okay. Would be nice if he'd show up soon.
Your friend the cat? Azamet asks, again reading Alibi's thoughts.
You can read my mind? Alibi blurts out. More like annoyingly over here, Azamet responds. You are broadcasting.
Sorry.
So, you know a Dakur? Azamet asks warily. He scans their surroundings, suddenly watchful. And you actually believe you have a chance of being rescued?
Ha, Alibi says, enjoying a chance to laugh. I don't believe anything, he tells Azamet. But rescue would be nice.
Azamet calls out what must be a name. Kaffa!
But it sounds like a cough.
An Eldred appears at the door. What of a catman? Azamet asks the Eldred. Azamet is speaking the language of the ancient enemy, but thanks to the influence of Azamet's mind on his own, Alibi understands.
There was a catman, the Eldred says. He got away.
Got away? Azamet asks menacingly.
Afraid so, sir. His ship left a while ago,
the Eldred informs him.
He no longer poses a threat.
No longer? Azamet shakes his head. Your assessment is flawed, Kaffar. He swats the alien across its face. The Eldred recoils. Get me the Tektar, Azamet commands. Kaffar runs out of the room. It returns in a moment with a communication disc in its hands. It holds the disc in front of Azamet, and the image of a Tektar appears above the disc.
I require your assistance, Azamet tells the reptilian image.
Our ships left there just yesterday. You require help once again?
The alien replies with a question. This is a problem? Azamet asks in turn.
Well, we do have a vast expanse to control.
I thought I was dealing with a mature and powerful race, Azamet says with heavy disappointment in his voice. I require a squadron of your ships for my protection.
A squadron? Well, Tektar Command will consider that request. Rest assured, Azamet, we will have ships to you soon.
The Tektar tells him. How soon? Azamet presses. How many ships?
Momentarily,
the Tektar answers. Thank you, Azamet says through gritted teeth. The image of the Tektar disappears. Azamet grabs the disc from the Eldred. He throws it across the room, smashing it against the wall.
Not soon enough. They do not know who they are dealing with.
Used to getting your way, huh? Alibi chides the man.
Azamet turns, looming over him.
Entire systems once jumped at my command. I am used to being obeyed immediately. This lack of respect is disturbing.
Alibi tactfully changes the subject, trying to get Azamet back on track.
So, how many of you time travelers are there?
A superior race does not allow itself to suffer extinction without a contingency plan. All of the elite escaped. They have already moved through time. They are moving through time, and yet they will be moving through time.
Azamet shakes his head, realizes he isn't making complete sense.
It is hard to explain. They will return when the time is right, when the way has been prepared.
What, do you think to pump me for information?
Azamet asks, becoming aware he's explaining himself to Alibi.
As if I do not see through you.
Yeah, I am transparent, Alibi admits.
Let's see.
Azamet stares at Alibi.
Once again, Alibi feels greasy, dark fingers
grabbing a hold of his head as Azumet begins to delve into his mind. Alibi remembers his dream.
Double doors closing! Double doors closing!
Slam! Alibi sees the doors close in his mind, and the greasy fingers melt away.
What?
Azumet blurts out, surprised and shocked.
You should not be able to keep me out like that!
I shouldn't, you know, I really shouldn't, Alibi says, playing along. His arms are beginning to cramp up from being taped to the chair. He flexes his muscles, trying to keep blood flowing through his arms and legs.
You are a very curious and dangerous subject,
Azumet tells Alibi.
I will have to examine your brain to see why you are different.
Thanks for the heads up, Alibi jokes. Azumet walks up next to Alibi and pushes an injector into his arm. Hey, Alibi protests.
Sisa trecurium,
Azumet tells him.
A good dose of muscle relaxant. If I can't get into your mind this way,
he points to his forehead with two fingers,
I'll physically open up your brain instead. Cruder, yes, but it will still yield information.
Azumet shouts something, and four Eldred appear.
Huh. Since I shut him out, I can't understand what he's saying to the Eldred.
Azumet stares at the four Eldred. A minute goes by. Alibi can't pick anything up, but can only assume Azumet's giving them nonverbal instructions. Azumet turns and walks out of the room. Two of the Eldred begin cutting the tape off of Alibi. The other two leave the room. Alibi tries to struggle, but finds that the drug Azumet has injected him with seems to be taking effect. He can't move his arms. He can't move his legs. Paralyzed! He can still feel pain, however. As the Eldred rip at it, the tape catches Alibi's skin a few times. Alibi discovers he can't even scream. The other two aliens return with a stretcher as their compatriots finish ripping off the tape.
I can't move! Not even sure I'm breathing.
The four Eldred roll Alibi over onto the stretcher, leaving him laying face up. They each lift a corner of it and carry him out of the room and on down the hall. He watches the ceiling pass by as he's carried. Before long, he's in the lab. Alibi's stretcher bumps to a stop. The Eldred lift the stretcher and roll Alibi off of it onto what Alibi figures is an operating table. He can see a stack of machinery off to his left. Azumet surges up, appearing on Alibi's right side.
Ventilator!
Azumet barks the command to an Eldred nurse next to him. The alien forces tubes down Alibi's throat. Air begins flowing into Alibi's lungs.
Get his head,
Azumet orders another Eldred.
A moment later,
Alibi's scalp tingles as electric shears begin shaving the hair from his head.
Sensors,
Azumet commands, and another Eldred opens Alibi's shirt and starts shaving small areas on his chest and applying small sensor pads. Azumet looks at the screens next to them.
The muscle relaxant doesn't seem to be working as effectively as I'd hoped. Looks like your metabolism has sped up to chase it through faster than I expected. I'll just have to work a bit faster myself. Can't have you twitching as I finish up, huh? Can I?
An alarm begins sounding.
The cavalry arriving? Help on the way? And not a moment too soon?
What is it? Azumet asks from somewhere behind Alibi's head.
Tekta ships, sir,
an Eldred tells him.
Two of them.
Damn, not my cavalry. And I can understand the Eldred again. Is he getting back into my head?
They only sent me two ships,
Azumet says, furious.
I ordered a squadron. Get me the Tekta commander.
Another Eldred brings in a new communication disc and presents it before Azumet. A Tekta soon appears in the space over the disc, on the edge of Alibi's vision.
This is the Tekta commander. We have assumed defensive positions in orbit. You believe you will be attacked?
The Tekta asks Azumet.
There are only two of you? I ordered a squadron!
Azumet fumes.
Your request was carefully considered by Central Command. It was determined that two ships were the maximum that could be spared for this possible situation, given current conditions across the Tekta expanses.
The Tekta explains to Azumet. Current conditions? Azumet asks.
We have other concerns we must attend to,
he is told.
We are also attempting to assist you, Azumet, per our agreement.
You two will have to do then,
Azumet says.
Azumet out!
Alibi can hear Azumet crashing around, but cannot see him.
Two ships! Two ships! They insult me!
Alibi hears him fuming.
Kafar! Get our two Eldred ships into orbit with the Tekta! Get the servant crews on board now!
Azumet appears over him.
Did you think I forgot about you?
Ha! He He moves around above Alibi's head. Alibi feels something cold and wet slap against his head.
What is he doing?
Guidelines, Azumet answers his mental question. Painting the proper line for the saw, assuring an accurate cut. I caught that thought. You are still with me, are you not? Good. The Sisa Trichurium has paralyzed you, despite your system's attempt to burn through it quickly. It won't deaden your sensations. Ordinarily, they use an anesthetic along with it to dull pain. But that would interfere with the research results I require. I need you awake and alert for as long as possible. So long as you are alive. In the end, you will be dead, so what is a little pain along the way? I will be recording everything, even death and post-death brain activity. You know, it is curious to me that there is post-death brain activity in you humans. This may be the biological reason your race has its beliefs in afterlives.
Do you ever shut up?
Azumet grins down at Alibi, and then disappears from view. Alibi hears a high-pitched whine begin. Azumet appears in Alibi's line of sight once again. An Eldred stands next to him, surgical saw in its hands, the blade spinning and whirring. Azumet straps on safety goggles and then holds out his hand to the Eldred. It places the saw in his hand. Azumet then disappears out of Alibi's sight as he prepares to take off the top of Alibi's head.
That was part one of chapter 19 on Glow in the Dark Radio. How'd you like that saw sound? Seemed like a good cliffhangery place to end it this week, to create a break in chapter 19, this very long chapter. But I am not going to jip you. Next week you get chapter 19 and chapter 20. We will be finishing this book on the next episode. The reason for that is chapter 20, for some reason, is very short, whereas chapter 19 was massive. So I've divided it in two. I'll keep you hanging. Just for a week. Remember, if you want to check out any of my stuff, just head over to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, or check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can sign up for my mailing list at any of those sites and get that exclusive anthology I was telling you about, The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. That is it for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.